China aims high for economic growth.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. And is supported by Delta Airlines, now offering the Booking on the Fly Delta app. You can download the app to book on the go. Delta, keep climbing.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. China's National People's Congress is underway, and it'll end with a once-in-a-decade transition of power. Today, the current premier, Wen Jiabao, made some news by setting an ambitious 7.5% economic growth target. For more, we're joined from Shanghai by the BBC's John Sudworth. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, let's start with this number, 7.5% for economic growth. That's the target for the next year. How is China going to get there?
Well, it's a target that would be the envy of many economies elsewhere in the world. Actually, it's pretty modest for China. It's the same target for this year as was set in 2012. And China got there last year, as it will this year, by mainly spending government money. This is an economy that is still propped up largely through big government infrastructure spending, through export-driven economic growth. And the plan is largely the same, although in Premier Wen Jiabao's speech today, there were signs of some moves to rebalance. And again, we've heard it from the leaders before, stressed again today, that China needs to get its own domestic consumers to spend more.
Now, there have been other things talked about today besides economic growth. What else has come out of this National People's Congress?
Well, what we also heard from Premier Wen Jiabao today at the end of his term in office was a warning about some of the challenges to Chinese growth, in particular mentioning things like pollution, a big concern for a lot of Chinese citizens now and a growing concern. And of course, the other issue of corruption. It does appear now, despite having spoken about this for a long, long time, that party leaders are finally very serious about trying to crack down on that, which is a real bone of contention for the Chinese public and causing a crisis of legitimacy for the party.
The BBC's John Sudworth in Shanghai. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure, Jeremy.
Well, while we're talking China, there's a proposal this week from the country's incoming president, Xi Jinping, to beef up food and drug safety in the country by creating a Chinese version of the FDA. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
From toxic infant formula to the widespread use of gutter oil in local restaurants, the Chinese have little confidence in their government's ability to make sure their food is safe. Sean Ryan is the author of The End of Cheap China. He says creating a super agency is essential to restore consumer confidence and address the current risks.
Otherwise, the government's going to face severe social instability and dissatisfaction in the coming 5 years. People have the money, they have the education, and they're no longer willing to accept it.
More and more middle-class Chinese are buying imported milk formula, imported vaccinations for their kids, and imported food. Good news for American companies exporting food to China. Not so much for domestic companies. Ryan says a new Chinese equivalent to the FDA comes partly in response to falling revenue for domestic brands. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.25% in Singapore, 1.5% in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 38 points to close at 14,127, which is very near the all-time high.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Perhaps no state will feel the sequester more than the state of Virginia, which relies heavily on federal spending because of its proximity to the nation's capital and its role as the home of the military-industrial complex. I spoke with the state's Republican Governor Bob McDonnell about what he's expecting.
Well, we know the cuts have to be made, first of all, and I'm a strong supporter of reducing federal spending. Our country is in deep financial trouble, $17 trillion in debt. President has racked up $6 trillion in new debt over the last 4 years. So we fully understand that the cuts have to be made. Our only contention is don't put half of it on defense, which is what they've done.
Well, but when the governor of Virginia says make cuts, just don't cut defense, it's kind of like just saying, yeah, make cuts, just don't cut my money.
Well, I'm not saying don't cut defense. I'm saying defense has got to take its share, but don't make it 50%.
You can hear my full interview with Governor McDonnell at marketplace.org. Well, one federal agency that will feel the pinch from the sequester is the IRS, which means fewer eyeballs scouring tax returns for fraud, which costs the government billions of dollars each year. Sally Herships reports.
I know this might be hard, but try to find some room in your heart for the IRS.
I can't recommend that anyone try to get a fraudulent return through, but if you were trying to get one through, this might be the year to do it.
Dan Hood is editor-in-chief of TaxPro Today. If the IRS has to make cuts, the furloughs will include investigators who go after tax cheats.
No one has any sympathy for the IRS, but you know, they really do have an incredibly full plate this year.
Hood says even before the newest round of budget cuts, the IRS was already down staff and resources, and the shaky job market could mean more temptation for taxpayers to sequester some of their own income from their tax return. Richard Cibula teaches finance at Jacksonville University.
And they try to find ways in cutting corners, including the corner that turns in the direction of the Internal Revenue Service.
Cibula estimates this year 10% of taxable income will go unreported, the same as last year. The IRS has a message for potential tax evaders. It expects any furloughs won't begin until summer, after your return has been processed. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally to Scotland, where someone is probably in a lot of trouble after they accidentally flushed $750,000 worth of Scotch whiskey down the drain after mistaking it for wastewater. The mistake came to light when sewage workers discovered the sewage smelled kind of good. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.